On Rabbanan, Morav Rabbeisai, I must say I'm always embarrassed by these introductions. I would like to say the truth that the many things that were said that I do in fact do. There are a lot more things I do, but it's all in the schus of the fact that my wife is at home taking care of the family and me, and that's why it happens. And I just want to put the credit where it belongs. I want to tell you a story. I once had the schus to work with a young child, elementary school child, who had ADD. I imagine by now almost everyone knows what ADD is, attention deficit disorder. It's an impulse disorder. We won't go into details now. But I worked with this kid who had a very severe case of ADD. And we worked for a couple of years together trying to help him control his impulses as best as he could. When he reached seventh grade, somewhere in the middle of seventh grade, he was struggling very, very much with this problem. And one day I get a call from his cheder. The principal of the cheder was a good friend of mine who worked with me and allowed me to work with him and constantly aids us in advice how to work with this struggling kid, how to keep him in the system. And one day he called me and he said, "Sherman, it's over. He's out. I can't do it anymore. No more. I just can't deal with this." I said, "What happened?" So he told me, "Look, his classroom is on the third floor of the building." He said, "The kid one day, that day apparently, had been up on the third floor of the classroom, and one of the kids was looking out the window and said, 'Look, our Rebbe and the principal are right beneath the window. What would happen if we took the garbage and we just, like, you know, it's a straight shot?'" Now, everybody else just chuckles and thinks that's a cute idea. But if you have ADD, you respond. That's what you do. And the kid went and he took the garbage and got a direct hit on the principal and the Rebbe. And he called me and said, "That's it, he's out." Well, I asked him, "Give me 10 minutes. He said, "Shimon, he's out." I said, "I understand, but give me 10 minutes. Let me just think this over." I called him back, and he's a great man, this principal. And I said to him, "Here's what I'd like to do, if it's okay with you. Look, he's a year older than his grade anyway. How about that we move him on, we graduate him, I want to make a farewell party. How about that? Let's not just throw him out, but let's make a party. Here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to go to all his teachers and Rebbeim who ever taught him in the school and get one nice, positive, encouraging, nice statement about him. Something. They must have one nice thing to say about him. And write it on a scroll. Make up a scroll with one nice statement about this kid. I'm going to go and buy a cake. I know you have sodas in your closet. I will call the parents. I'll call the other school. Let's transfer him. Let's graduate him. Let's put him in ninth grade, another school. He doesn't have to feel humiliated. Can we do it?" And he said, "Okay." Meanwhile, the principal went around and he spoke to the various teachers and Rebbeim, and everyone wrote something very sweet and very nice about this boy. I come to the school with the cake, mazel tov on the cake. I called the other school. They said, "They'll take him, not a problem." I called the parents, they mask him. And the same day, at the end of that day, I come to the school, and we had all the Rebbeim sitting in the principal's office. I come in with the cake, we have the sodas there, and we call in the kid. Now, the kid earlier the same day had thrown the garbage on the principal and the Rebbe. I can imagine he's invited into a meeting now where he walks in and there's the principal, his Rebbe, all his Rebbeim. I'm in the room, we're all there. You can imagine what he looked like when he walked into this room. And the kid walked into the room and I said, "Mazel tov, you've graduated." He looked at me and said, "What do you mean graduated?" He said, "You've graduated. You're going to such and such yeshiva, we've moved you on, mazel tov." And he looked bewildered. He said, "Sit down, we're going to have the cake, we have sodas, we're all so proud," and everyone clapped in the room, mazel tov. And then I asked them, "Let's read the scroll." And they started reading this scroll, everyone, something nice, a compliment, a beautiful something, a chizuk to this kid. I have to tell you, As we sat there in that room, we were all in tears. By the end of this session, we had our sodas, we had our cake, and we graduated this young man, and he went off to the other yeshiva. And we never discussed with him what happened. We never talked about it. He knew there was something we had to say. He knew he'd done something wrong. We didn't need to talk about it. He went on to this other yeshiva, and I lost touch with him. About 3 or 4 years after this happened, maybe more, 4 or 5 years after this happened, I have an office in Borough Park. And one day, it was lunchtime, and I had a break, and I went out to a pizza store in Borough Park, and I went out to get myself some lunch. And I come into this store. I didn't recognize him at first, but lo and behold, there was this kid, now a fully grown young man, a frum boy, and he's working in this pizza store. And it's a busy pizza store. And I walk in there, and he slaps on the counter. He sees me. Russell, it's you! I didn't recognize him first. Then I recognized who he was. And he looks at me, and he says to everyone in the store, I want you to be quiet. Everyone be quiet. And he tells over the story to the whole store and all the people in the store how he once threw the garbage out the window and he was wrong. And he did something terrible. And he thought his life was going to be wrecked and ruined. And he said, you know, see this guy over there? This guy helped save me. This guy helped save me because we let him go. We transferred him to another place. We allowed him to move on with dignity. We gave him unconditional love. He knew. He absolutely knew. And I talked to him afterwards exactly about what had happened. He knew exactly what he'd done wrong. But instead of rubbing it in his face, we allowed him to move on with dignity. And he ended up doing well and continuing with his life. We have a mitzvah in the Torah. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, Ahavta l'Reicha Kamoicha. This is a mitzvah's Asei D'Raisa. And to me, it's a Pella Atzum. I don't understand this. There are 3 main opinion shitas in this mitzvah, Ahavta l'Reicha Kamoicha. The Rambam learns in this mitzvah that you have to actually love your fellow man. You have to love them. Whatever you want for yourself, you have to want for others. Whatever you want to acquire for yourself, you should want others to be able to acquire the same things. You have to love someone else. The Ramban learns it's a little different. You have to act always as if in a loving way. You have to act towards people in a loving way. And the Mashur learns, like Hillel says, what you don't want done to yourself, don't do it to someone else. Don't treat people in a way you don't want to be treated. So I have a question like this. It's a mitzvah asei d'oraisa. Imagine we go through life. How many times do we get into situations where at least we have to have a suffix? Are we really treating people in a loving way? Would I really want someone to treat me like that? Imagine a person goes into a restaurant one morning, they're going to buy food, let's say Erev Shabbos, and someone taps them on the shoulder and says to them, you know, I heard there's a shaila whether the Mashgiach is coming, is not coming. It's not clear. There's some shaila about the Mashgiach. Well, how many of us would just go in and buy food anyway? We have a suffix. Will we do it? Imagine if after davening one morning, the Rav came over to us and he looked at your tefillin and he said, look, see this tefillin, see this corner over here? That corner looks to me a little bit, I don't know. I wouldn't make a brach on these tefillin until you get them checked out. Would you put those same tefillin on the next day? You have a safek, would you do it? Of course not. If it was lichbenchen and you suddenly realized the time was wrong, would you really go and do it? Would you really go and light the candles? Or would you have a suffix? You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't dream of doing it. Why is it that when it comes to v'ahavta l'recha k'mecha, when we have to love, it's a mitzvah's asei d'raisa, shouldn't we be makpid? Shouldn't we be careful on every possibility? Maybe a suffix, I'm not being loving. In this parsha we read just now, We find the famous, probably one of the most beautiful stories about the snare boya, the snare, the burning, the bush is burning. And it tells us something, the Sfarim say, about the resilience of the Jewish neshama, the koyach haruchni, the internal koyach of the Jew, that we survive through difficulties, through tragedies, through problems and struggles. Where does this koyach derive from? Where do we find it from? And I saw a fascinating medrash, just a few psukim further in this parsha. The Medrash says, it brings from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Roya Ra'isi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I behold, I see. Es ani ami, the suffering of my people. Ki odati es machoibav, I see their suffering. And the Medrash says an interesting thing. Roya Ra'isi, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, I see two Ra'iyas, says the Medrash. It doesn't say Ra'isi. I saw, the I saw, it says, Ro'e Ra'isi, behold I see, two Lashonis of Ra'iya. And what does it mean? Says the Medrash, Amalai Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Ator Ro'e Ra'iya Achas, you see one Ra'iya, but I see two Ra'iyas. The Rabbanu says, I see two things, you only see one. What does the Medrash mean? And the Nesiv HaSholem explains, beautiful, Slana Mareba. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a question. How can Klal Yisrael possibly be saved? They're Memtes Shari Tumah. Imagine what they look like. They're the worst possible Madrega human beings, Jews could be. The worst possible low Madrega. And Moshe Rabbeinu asks, how could they be saved? And the Rabbanu says, Ra'e Ra'isi, you only see one Ra'iya, I see two Ra'iyas. You see the Chitzonius, you just see the outside, you see how they've fallen to such a low Madrega. And the Rabbanu says, no, but I see two Ra'iyas, I see both the outside, but I see the Pnimius, I see the inside, I see the hearts and souls, I see their drive and desire, I see who they really are, I see through the Chitzonius. I don't look at the outside, just the dress and who they look like, but I see their bakasha, their hearts and souls that want the truth and want to come close to me. We see so many children struggling and we see the outside and we judge them accordingly. Do we see one ra'iyah or two ra'iyahs? The Rabbeinu Shem is exhorting us, see two ra'iyahs, look inside, see who they really are and communicate that to them. Help them see and understand that we see both the ra'iyahs. We see the outside, but we see their inside. And we see they have hearts and souls and tenderness and gentleness. And when we reach them, and when they see that we see them, the response is hafladik, is amazing. I once spoke and got a gift from a Rebbe. I spoke once in the Beis Yaakov High School. And I thought to say this over because it reminded me of the keichas of your great manal, Rabbi Burstein Shlita, who I've known for many years, and you have an unbelievable manal, I must tell you, a very special person. I spoke in a high school, and I talked about trying to see the panemia, see the inside. When they're struggling, stop looking at the outside and try and see who they are and let them know that, communicate that to them. And I gave a drush on this subject. And one of the Rebbeim, he listened to me, he thought I was a little bit off the wall, frankly, but and he told me this very clearly, but he said, you know what? He knew what he was doing wasn't working, so he figured he'd try some of the ideas I gave him. When I went back to this same school in November and spoke there again, he said, I got a present for you. And he gave me the present. This is the present, and I'm going to read it to you. This is a letter written by a 10th grade girl in a Beis Yaakov high school, a girl suffering with ADD, attention deficit. She had a very great impulse disorder, and she was really in trouble. And this Rebbe tried something else, and he saw through to her panemius, and every time she acted out, he either ignored it or he responded to who she really was inside. He talked about her panemius, her heart and her soul. And at the end of the 10th grade, she wrote this letter. I want to read it to you. 10th grade girl, we humans tend to believe that a person's actions reflect the person. Your actions are who you are. That's why a kid like me doesn't usually feel positive about themselves in the classroom or around teachers. Most teachers believe or make me feel that if I can behave the way I do and act the way I act in class, then that's me. However, I'm really not a mean, bad, stupid kid. I just have a serious issue when it comes to things like sitting through classes and taking tests. So I end up acting very negatively in these situations. So my teachers and classmates see me as someone I'm not. What's so amazing is that I behave the same, if not worse, in your class than in every class. But for some reason, you were able to make me feel different. I didn't do well on your tests, and you never made me feel like a loser or a dummy about it. You're really a unique person, and even a more unique teacher. I've learned a lot from your actions about how to treat people no matter what. I honestly believe that if there were more teachers like you, there would be a lot less parents complaining about the system and a lot less angry kids out there. If you ever have the courage or feel it's worthwhile, I'd advise you to get up and talk about the way you treat the kids who misbehave in class, because it's so important for every teacher to know what you know and see it the way you see it. But if you don't think you're able to do it, you can wait a few years, because one day I'm going to be a someone too, and I'll tell people about the high school teacher who never yelled, embarrassed, or put me down, no matter how bad I was. I'm not a teacher yet, but I wonder if I would act the way you did. I wonder if I'd be strong enough to pass such a test. I won't know for now, but I can still hope and pray that I will. Thank you so much for all the lessons that are of utmost importance that you taught me. They're about life, and I hope to apply them. Ba'ava Talmid al-Olam. This is a... As I said, this is a Rebbe who saw through, who had two ears, who could see the pnimius, which is our job. That's the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Recha Kamoicha. That's what this mitzvah is all about. See deeply and communicate and show people that we see what you really are, which brings out the very best in what the person is and what the person can be. This evening was dedicated to the memory, the Zikaron of Devarim Eliezer, and I hope that the all the chizuk of the various drashas, and mine too, will be a schus for their neshamas. But I would like to dedicate my remarks to, and they're going to hate me for it, two very special people who I feel capture the spirit of Ahavta L'Recha Kamoicha. Two people who I think see those two ra'iyas, who they see the outside, but they see the inside. My dear friends, Yisrael and Rivi Edelman. Your courage, your strength, your dignity, and your love, they're an inspiration to us all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Shimon Russell. The next and last presentation slash speaker for this evening, Moshe Loewenberg is not known by very many people here in LA. Moshe Loewenberg is Devorah's husband. Moshe Loewenberg is a classic example of matzah min esminai. Helping others is not Moshe's middle name. Helping others is Moshe's first name. He's an extremely mature individual who grew exponentially from an experience that would crush most.
Thank you very much for this beautiful award. Thank you very much for this evening, Mrs. Goldner. I really do thank you. However, there's something deeper that I think I have to give a karsa toiv to Beis Yaakov for, as I'm going to explain. Shimon Russell, you spoke very elegantly, you spoke very beautifully about unconditional love of a parent to a child. In my humble opinion, I think that it is only reasonable for a parent to be expected to achieve this level of greatness, of unconditional love, because the first couple of years of a child's life, a child is looked after 100% by their parents. Every parent looks after the child. Every parent looks after them, whether they're hungry, whether they're tired, whether they're dirty, the parent automatically is expected and is known, and every person, every parent does it, that they look after their child. And this is what gives them the strength and the ability later on. When unfortunately sometimes the children don't do exactly what they're supposed to be doing, it's this that gives them the potential to achieve this unconditional love. And therefore, with your permission tonight, I'd like to change the topic slightly. And instead of talking about the unconditional love of the parent to the child, let's talk about the unconditional love of us, the children, to our parent, the Rebbeinu Shalom himself. I believe this too. Comes from nurturing, comes from working on ourselves, comes from developing it over the years. When things are good, when Baruch Hashem we do have things, and we have financial success, and we have happiness, and we have good marriages, and we have good children, and to use that as the strength to carry on in our life, when unfortunately times take go hard. Unfortunately, everybody does know how my wife was nifter together with my child. What is very rarely known is that almost a year and a half beforehand, just after my daughter Elisa was born, that we found a tumor in Devarah. And we spent 4 months running around from one doctor to another, from one test to another test, searching and looking for an answer to see whether this tumor was benign or whether it was malignant. And so eventually, with my parents-in-law's help, we came here to Los Angeles, and Baruch Hashem, we had surgery and everything was well. However, during those months, some of the most difficult months that I could ever imagine, at no point did my wife, Devorah, ever ask the question, why? Never did she ask, how could it be that, you know, just after having a baby, that I'm so sick, that I'm in so much pain, that there's so much uncertainty, when there is so much worry. And I believe that strength came from here. It came from her mother, who was also a student here in Beis Yaakov, and it came later on in her years from Beis Yaakov itself. It is something that I feel that I owe enormous hakaras hatov to Beis Yaakov for instilling in her. However, many women unfortunately did not attend Beis Yaakov Los Angeles, and Baruch Hashem, many men were fortunate enough not to need to. However, how do we understand this? How do we integrate this into our life? I think that we can learn from my daughter Elisa. A child, like I said, the first years of their life know is that their parent will unconditionally love them. A child knows is that every time it cries that the mother is going to go work out what is wrong. Whether the child is a hungry cry or a sad cry. And the mother always goes and looks after her child. And that's maybe a message that we should take from my daughter. Is that we too, if we will cry out to the Rebbeinu Shalom, and we ask him, and we say, this is what I need, we know that the Rebbeinu Shalom will provide us with unconditional love. These are the messages here for tonight. Devorah, you taught us always not to look for what was bad in the situation. When she was sick, she always looked at what the positive was, how lucky she was that we had extra time to spend together, how we had time to work on our emunah. And my daughter Elisa taught us is that what it is to really have unconditional love, to know that there is someone there looking after us, that no matter what happens, they will provide for us. If we integrate these rules into our life, then Be'ezra Hashem, we too can be considered a pupil of Beis Yaakov of Los Angeles. We can also be privileged enough to have the lessons that Beis Yaakov teaches. And we too can be proud to say that we have unconditional love. Thank you.